Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome back to The Bulwark Goes to Hollywood. My name is Sonny Bunch. I'm culture editor at The Bulwark. And I'm very pleased to be rejoined today by Sean McNulty. Haven't had him on the show in a little while. It's been a little while. It's been a bit. But I'm glad to get him back on today. I got his morning newsletter roundup, Hollywood business compendium that I read every day from The Ankler. It's must read. Kind of pointer to what is going on in the day. And there was a story in it that I am fascinated by, but also know very little about and don't really understand and want to explain to you folks. Not me. I take it back. I know all this stuff. I want to explain this to you folks. No, this is going to be a Talk to Me Like I'm Dumb episode. Thank you for being on to Talk to Me Like I'm Dumb, Sean.
Let's break it down for a five-year-old. Here we go. My favorite way to do a conversation. So, yeah, maybe a 12-year-old. Maybe we'll go 12-year-old, Sonny.
We'll go. Give me a little credit.
All right.
So the story here is that the cable networks that are owned by NBC Universal, not all of them, most of them, are being spun off of NBC Universal into a separate company. And I don't understand what that means exactly, because the idea here is you get it off the books. That creates more opportunities for growth. Maybe it makes it easier to sell off. I don't understand, but I honestly don't understand. So explain to me like I'm stupid what NBC Universal is doing with their cable companies this week.
All right, so let's get to the names people know. So this is the networks we are talking about here: MSNBC, CNBC, USA, Oxygen, E, Sci-Fi, and Golf Channel. They're keeping Bravo inside of NBCU and Comcast. So Bravo is staying. Bravo will be grouped with NBC and Peacock into a TV division, and they have some local TV stations they own as well. So that's the remaining TV business at Comcast, NBC Universal. This new company will be existing of those networks I just mentioned. And I think you're up to speed on this. That's the cable TV bundle's not doing great there, Sonny. So been in secular decline for probably about 13 years now. Peaked around, say, 2011, 2012. The cable bundle's number of subscribers has dropped from well over 100 to, I think, we're arguably around 70 million, maybe 65 million by the year's end, somewhere in there. So that's in about a decade's time, more or less. And these networks are all victim of that. They're a part of that. That is not getting better, Sonny. The cable bundle is not coming back. This is, no one's going to, in 2030, it's not going to be the year of the cable bundle. So this is a declining business they know about. The question to ask all these companies, not just NBC Universal, by the way, this is facing Paramount. This is facing WBD. So you have these other players in the mix here. Disney is also certainly involved in this. They're going to go direct to consumer with ESPN next year. That's their solve for this ESPN problem they have, which is a separate conversation. But so all the companies have this problem, but no one knows what to do. You have a group of declining assets that still throw off billions of dollars of cash in profit every year. So, it's just that the profit is declining. So that is the issue you have. So when you're going to Wall Street, all these companies are publicly traded companies. They have to go before Wall Street and report quarterly earnings reports four times a year, or report them out all the time in the wake up. When you're going back to Wall Street every quarter, and every time your narrative is, we're making less money here, we're having problems, it's a bad narrative. You want to be telling a growth narrative to Wall Street. What are you doing? What are you planning for 2030 NBCU? What's 2035 going to be? You know, all the future looking. Wall Street looks ahead. It doesn't look back. Streaming now is not at NBCU, but elsewhere is starting to become profitable. So you have that narrative out there. Disney's going to clear, they say, about $1 billion in profit in their fiscal year 25. WBD has said they're going to clear about $1 billion in profitability as well in 2025. Peacock is still losing hundreds of millions of dollars a quarter. So that's a separate, you know, so that narrative's changing. So streaming is becoming the future, finally, Sonny. The promise is here that was made in 2018, 2019 for these companies. We've arrived at mid-2020s and here we are. So NBCU's solution now is to get these kind of, they're not money losing networks, but they're profit declining networks off of their books. So their narrative at Comcast can be, we are a pure growth company. Now, mind you, when you spin off, so that's probably a question, that's a term that's thrown out there, but it's not really, no, what does that mean? The Comcast shareholders still own this company. It's just a separately traded public company. So you can buy stock in, they call it SpinCo. It's going to have a name. It doesn't have a name yet. So the company needs a name. We're calling it SpinCo, or they're calling it SpinCo, I should say. So SpinCo, well, you can buy stock just as you buy in Meta or you buy in Apple stock. You can buy SpinCo stock. This is going to happen in about a year now. So this isn't immediate, by the way. So this is November 2025 we're talking about here at this point. And that will consist of those networks I mentioned, MSNBC, CNBC, so on and so forth. Companies that, again, throw off, they made $7 billion in profit in the past 12 months, sorry, $7 billion in revenue in the past 12 months, highly profitable, that was not broken out. So you're going to have a company that is in decline or flat at best, but is throwing off profit. So you could create a company that could, as you said, maybe you invest, you attract other company, other businesses in. Maybe the question is, does Paramount want to put a couple of their networks in there? Does WBD want to, you know, everybody has this problem. Is this holding company or this new company, SpinCo, a solution to kind of mitigate everybody's problem here to get these networks that they, you know, they're declining in revenue off their books? So that's kind of the thinking on it. But again, and what it does for Comcast shareholders is that when you're, so say if they had sold these networks, Sonny, right? A, who are you selling them to? Who's buying a cable network in 2025? Right. Nobody, you know, which everybody has found out the hard way there in Hollywood. So this, which, and if you sell it, you know, pay taxes, right? So this is a tax-free maneuver, let's put it that way. So there's no tax implications for Comcast. But what it does, all the, in the company, the shareholders in the SpinCo are still all Comcast shareholders. So if you own Comcast stock, you will now also own stock in SpinCo.
Okay.
All right. At which point, what you can do with stock in SpinCo is you can sell it.
Okay.
So it enables anybody, any shareholders in Comcast who do not want to be in the cable TV business and just want to be in the Comcast business, it gives them an exit, potential exit of their investment, and you can free up your money to go invest either in more Comcast stock, you can go invest it in Meta, you can freeze up the money. So that's a way to, you know, unlock value without having to pay taxes on these things or even find a buyer, which doesn't exist anyway. So,
all right. I have a dumb question here. So
no, if, please. That's if, a lot there. So please fire away.
So we're essentially talking about moving assets around on paper, more or less.
Yes. 100%.
But so what does this actually, what will this do to the Comcast stock itself? Should if you get rid of all of this stuff that is profitable but declining in profit, but is still like a big part of the company, not enormous. I think in your newsletter it was you said it was 7%, something like that, of total, the total
it's,
size.
6% of Comcast revenue is 18% of NBCU revenue. So it's meaningful revenue for NBCU, but Comcast, and the stock is Comcast, so the stock trades on Comcast. It's 6% of revenue. It's fine. It's nothing big, but yeah.
So I guess my question is, will this new stock then be like 6% of Comcast? Is it, do you just take, like, why does this not immediately hit the Comcast stock and hurt it by removing this giant chunk of the company? Again, small but still very, very sizable in terms of overall size. Like, why does that not hurt the stock immediately?
Well, and to your point, the stock is absolutely flat today, Sonny. So this is the day the news came out. Wall Street has nothing to say. They have no take on this whatsoever, which, you know, kind of tells you the problem right there. Well, you can kind of take two sides of it. Yes, you are losing 6% of your, it'll be, Comcast will be a smaller company. And again, Comcast still owns this. So it's not like it's a sale. You know what I mean? It's a little bit of a perception. It's a paper game a bit here. So, but you're getting a business that is in secular decline off of your narrative and off of your books. So that is a for Wall Street, that's kind of a net positive. Yes, you're taking a short term. Yes, Comcast will be, you know, out $7 billion of revenue per year, but that will grow over time. If they become a growth business, you'll overcome that when Peacock hopefully turns a corner, becomes profitable, mm-hmm. or whatever it might be. They're also a broadband company, son. This is, you know, NBC. Right. That's, you got to remember this too. Comcast trades on the broadband and mobile phone and well, formerly cable TV bundle business, but they are judged on broadband by Wall Street. So this is not anybody's pressing concern about Comcast. The problem Comcast has is that broadband subscribers have stalled out. They haven't grown broadband subscribers six quarters, so maybe it's more by the number, more than that. You know, there was a big boom in the pandemic, right? That was mm-hmm. a couple mm-hmm. of years there, everybody's working from home. That stopped full stop. You have competitors like Verizon selling their wireless 5G now as a big competitor. So they have a lot of issues in there. That's what that stock generally trades on. So this news is like, I mean, seemingly it's like not a shrug, but just like, hey, sounds good. Let us know. And they're still waiting financials. There's still a lot of details here, Sonny. So again, maybe they're waiting to see kind of what the proof is in the pudding here. But that stock, it's like, yeah, that's great. Let's go back to the other part of the issue here, you know. So
okay.
From Wall Street's point of view.
Okay. Again, from Wall Street's point of view, then, you have this separate spun-off company, SpinCo, as they're calling it. Why? All right. We all agree that this is a declining asset, that the cable bundle is going away, that these channels will, in all likelihood, at some point in the future, either cease to exist or be absorbed into something else. I think is basically kind of how we're looking at this, right? Why on earth would I buy shares of SpinCo?
That is a 100% valid question, Sonny. Well, here's what, this is just me.
I want the theory of the thing, not
sure.
What's the theory of
this? You are entirely right to have the perception, right? So convince me to buy stock in your company, fine, sir. Why am I buying stock in SpinCo? So, you know, a couple of reasons that this has not been stated yet. This is just me and my thinking. So for the record on that. When you have a company that throws off a lot of cash, Sonny, what you can do is issue a pretty nice dividend. So mm-hmm. I think that's probably going to be the enticement, is that we're going to, you know, dividends. So if you own a share of stock, you get, they pay you per share. Sometimes it's 25 cents. Sometimes it's a buck, you know, maybe 5 cents, whatever it might be, but it's free money. We're giving money back to you, our shareholders, for just owning our stock. So I think that will be a tactic that they will use. Again, nothing's been stated here. A lot of financials still to come, but we have a company that is profitable and probably won't be, you know, lauded with debt. So if you have a lot of debt, that's a problem. WBD has a lot of debt in their hands right now, right? Which mm-hmm. is why they can't really get rid of their cable TV networks, because they need that cash flow to pay off their debt. So that's, they're in a trickier situation. NBCU probably or does not have this problem. SpinCo, in theory, will not be, you know, offloaded with a bunch of debt on their books. So if you have a low debt company that's paying a nice dividend, that could be, to some investors, an attractive, you know, plan. No one knows the bottom of the cable TV bundle, I will say. I mean, you know, but they know it's going to keep going. But that could ride a line. I mean, Fox Corp is a good example of this. Fox Corp trades as a publicly traded company. This is, of course, run by the Murdochs. So, you know, that you're talking to the Fox Network and you're talking the cable TV networks, namely Fox mm-hmm. News. Those are your two businesses right there. There's nothing else in that company. Mm-hmm. Tubi's in there, I should say. Sorry, they're very proud of Tubi that still loses money, but that's a whole conversation for another day. But that company has managed to, as much as cord cutting is, they're hitting, you know, Fox News has the same problem. But you know, they've been raising their rates that they charge cable companies enough to mitigate. So they've been maintaining a status level, and even sometimes you get a bump. You have a Super Bowl one year, you get a nice little bump in revenue or whatever it might be. You have an election year, you get a nice little bump. So you have these little things that come along that help your business out. And the Fox business, the broadcast TV business, is still pretty healthy by most accounts. So if this company can toe that line for a while, and again, but no one knows the answer here, Sonny. No one, if anybody gives you one, they're just pulling a number out of their hat. They have no idea what, you know, is this 2 years? Is this 5 years? When does this, as you say, these things start to evaporate and disappear? No one knows. So if they can do that and ride that out and maybe keep the revenue equal and pay out a nice dividend, maybe that's an attractive way for an investor to come in. I think ultimately what we're talking about probably is that when you spin this company off, it's off your books, and a private equity firm can come in and meaningfully maybe take it over. And what does private equity do? They are experts at managing businesses in decline. What do they do with newspapers, right? That became a private equity business. Newspapers is a very good analogy here for the cable TV bundle. But this way, in theory, again, theoretically speaking, this isn't a private equity firm buying these networks, which again would result in tax implications and so on and so forth, but it spins them out. So if someone wanted to invest perhaps and perhaps take them over for them, it's a little more of an easier vehicle where they just buy up the stock and it's a stock takeover or whatever it might be. You know, it opens up a lot more options if you have a pump a company versus just selling oxygen to, you know, Apollo private equity. So that's right. What, you know, could happen there.
Right. Okay. So then let's look at what might or might not happen to the individual channels, right?
Yes.
I mean,
right.
I would say, look, MSNBC is you know, the one of the three big cable news networks. It still generates a ton of revenue. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, in decline, like everything else in cable, and has its own issues with, you know, what. But in theory, you know, with a Trump presidency, it's a good oppositional sort of network like that. Those often see bumps during these.
We'll see, but hopefully,
these periods.
Yeah.
So what is the theory of what happens with these individual networks, at least in the short term?
This is where it gets complicated, and they don't have to be fair. They have not stated a plan here. And again, we have 12 months to kind of sort this out, right? So the news division is the biggest question mark in my mind, because you have NBC News is staying under Comcast NBCU,
right.
And you have CNBC and MSNBC, and this other company that is run by a different person. You know, it's an NBCU executive they're moving over to run this mm-hmm. company, but you know, reporting lines, very important in this business, right? So, but you have a staff of news people, and NBC, you know, pools news, and I'm sure the stuff that runs on CNBC runs on NBC News and things like that. So from a staffing point of view, how's that going to work? From a revenue point of view, you know, a lot of questions there. Cesar Conde, who runs NBC News, is staying in Comcast. I've heard a few things that maybe the leadership of these cable networks will now change their reporting, which, again, who runs the show here? Who's my boss? Who's setting the editorial agenda for MSNBC and CNBC and NBC News? Is that the same person, or is that going to be the new person who's running SpinCo? We don't know. So these networks will still exist. The business, it's probably business as usual for a while, but that will be something to look at in terms of where do you allocate resources, right? And when this SpinCo was created, again, if you're in a declining business, I mean, look, how do you manage a declining business? You cut costs, you cut staff to, you know, keep your profitability there, right? Will that affect any resources for those channels? Is a legitimate question. That's just a question. And I'm not saying that that's the plan here, but certainly longer term, that does open up some questions there, Sonny, about those two businesses that we shall see, because again, it's just been NBC News as a division, and now you're really spinning them off. Even though, again, Comcast still owns this other company, but from an organizational point of view, that's a bit of a pickle. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to. You have also, you know, WWE airs on SmackDown, airs on USA. They have specials now airing on NBC, and that their home is on Peacock. NBC and Peacock are in Comcast. USA is in SpinCo. So, you know, again, not a big deal, but that WWE deal is up in 2026, the streaming deal on Peacock. So, but the SmackDown deal is different for USA. So, WWE may look at this different. So, that may be something to keep an eye on in terms of not near term horizon, but that's, you know, again, probably about a year from now, that'll start coming into, you know, fruition. So, if you're a WWE fan, you want to keep an eye on that. You know, the Premier League, you know, airs on all those networks too. So there's little things like that
sort
out. But the news division, Sonny, is the biggest question of like, how is this going to work? And again, this is the first day that was not addressed, and they have time to work that out. So,
right. So, I mean, just to use like, again, to make this a kind of a specific example, you'll have Morning Joe, which will be, and they'll probably have to change the name of MSNBC. Is that right?
No, because, again, Comcast still owns this company. So it's not like you want that equity. That's kind of the reason you know, that's value, is you have that NBC still in there. So that's an asset of SpinCo, so to speak. So you wouldn't change that per se.
Okay. So, all right. So you have Morning Joe, which is an MSNBC show, but often has, you know, NBC reporters on to talk about that. And now you're basically dealing with two separate divisions within the same company doing, you know.
Right. And who decides if that reporter goes and does that? If it's an NBC reporter and they don't report to the head of NBC, they report to this person and not that's, you know, it can't, you know, look, we don't know, but you can just, you're saying it right there. This opens up a huge can of worms that has to be sorted out. And maybe they'll just be like, hey, everybody be cool, you know, whatever. Or people will be. And if you have contracts coming up, if you have big name talent that maybe has an MSNBC contract and not an NBC News contract? You know, how does that work when you, for the big names, you know, on MSNBC and CNBC, that could be, you know, a big question mark. How do you, you know, divvy that up? Who's paying them? Is it this company or the other company? Because that you do have to account for on the books. The books will be separate. So that is, that's a legitimate question.
You know, that it raises a second question, which I've actually never considered. I should ask my NBC friends this. If you are an NBC reporter who is also an MSNBC correspondent, do you get, is it two separate paychecks, or is I think
that's part of you're part of the NBC News umbrella. Exactly right. No, but now that's am I paid by Spinco or am I paid by, you know, my benefit, where are my benefits from? My benefits, I mean, you know, like just even like that, that again, we're talking 10 steps down the line here than where they are right now. But it is, those are legitimate questions, especially if you do work there, and will there be staff size changes, you know, at some point? That's a legitimate question.
Well, and that also must make it difficult if Spinco, the separate entity, decides that selling MSNBC to a different company is a profitable way to go. That creates like a whole nother level of, you know, you can't really do that because you're, you know.
Right. I mean, if look, Brian Roberts, the head of Comcast, is holding a third of the voting shares of Spinco, so he will still have a large say in what happens at that company. The exact board, he's not on the board of that company, though. That structure hasn't been laid out. So some, but valid questions, Sonny, about, because, you know, who's setting strategy here?
Okay.
You have your own CEO, right? They haven't, you know, granted he's a former NBC top executive, but his fiduciary responsibility is to the shareholders of Spinco, not to Comcast as a company. So in it, down the line, those questions could come up. Like a question that I kind of put in the wake up this morning was like, CNBC, if that they want to go with direct to consumer streaming, that's a Spinco question. That's not a Comcast question. So if they want to, you know, go pay, hey, it's $12 a month for CNBC, stream all you want, that's now a Spinco decision, not an NBCU or Comcast decision. So that may be the streaming future, Sonny, is really kind of what needs to be thought about here. Because again, the future of these, you know, these are brands, right? These aren't, I mean, they are channels, but some of them are more than others, you can argue. But is there a different way to monetize these brands? Is there a way to attract more capital? Can we make these things grow in a way that maybe they couldn't in Comcast? A theoretical question, but what is the, I think CNBC and even MSNBC, I mean, CNN's going through this right now, right? With the paid subscription. Is there a way to kind of like, will people pay for this, you know, outside of the bundle? So they'll look at those questions now, Sonny, and that'll be a real impetus to do that, because now it kind of needs to, because they're going to have to find some growth levers that maybe they didn't really quite have the motivation to do under, you know, big Comcast. Now it's like, you're out in the open. It's like, all right, you're going to have quarterly reports too with your revenue, and you have to start telling a narrative of like, what are you doing to, again, mitigate this loss that you're having from cable TV, so these new ideas may start to come forward. So,
hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than two decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's upwork.com, upwork.com.
Yeah. You mentioned the individual channels and the brands therein. It is interesting that Bravo is staying with NBC yeah. and Peacock as like sort of a streaming hub, yeah. whereas, you know, USA or Sci-Fi yeah. or whatever else is Oxygen is kind of spinning off, which I kind of understand in the sense that, like, I feel like the Real Housewives stuff, that mm-hmm. sort of is like a real, that's like people go to Peacock to watch that. Yeah. And, like, what is USA's brand beyond the place where Monday Night Raw was and now right. SmackDown?
Which does not stream on Peacock, so, yeah.
Right. Like, what exactly is now, Sci-Fi has its own kind of brand, but I think has gotten away from it a bit in recent years.
They've stripped that down from programming, too. You know, there's not much yeah. on these things anymore besides reruns and, you know, things
right.
like those.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, look, and CNBC, Peacock stopped doing this. Peacock did. They were streaming Morning Joe and Squawk Box on mm-hmm. Peacock for a while. They did that experiment for a while. They stopped it. So, you know, that was the, you know, so that those, that kind of division fell off. So, you know, and the shows that are on, whatever, it's hard to even think of, you know, again, USA, it's more sports. It's again, Premier right. League and SmackDown that's on there. There's talk of USA doing new scripted series, which we'll see about what happens with that. You remember the Blue Skies era, his Suits?
Sure.
They were kind of like talking about bringing that back.
Well, that's where Suits was originally.
Yeah,
right?
Suits was there. Yeah. White Collar. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, quite a few. So we'll see if that continues or not. Now, especially if it's a spun off company, does that make sense to do anymore? But those shows would probably stream on Peacock if that, you know, so there's going to be a relationship here. It's not like SpinCo has to make its own streaming service, you know, to support right. itself kind of thing. So the ties are going to, again, as you mentioned at the top, it's a little bit of a paper move, but a lot of questions that are open right now. And it just doesn't, you know, again, running these companies lean is going to be very, very important. Cause they will be reliant upon the cable TV business, which, you know, again, throws off profit, but is declining.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess my biggest question here, which I think you've more or less answered, but mm-hmm. the biggest question for me here is, you know, look, you have Peacock, your streaming channel, it's the thing of the future. Why not just fold all of those into Peacock, make that part of Peacock, and kind of double dip? But I guess you can't do that with the other cable companies, right? Isn't that's another factor we have to consider here, is that it's not just that these companies, you know, throw off profit on their own. It's they throw off profit because they are hosted, for lack of a better word, on Spectrum, on right. Charter, on yeah. all the other cable services, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, they're being paid a monthly fee by all those companies you mentioned there, you know, Fios, you know, name whatever you have there, your cable TV provider, Hulu plus live TV, YouTube TV. They all pay, you know, 30 cents per subscriber for USA Network, whatever the number might be. And you put that out by millions, and that was the cable TV business premise for 40 years, Sony, that built, you know, that was the backbone of all these Hollywood studios. It's just in decline. So yes, but for that 30 cents a subscriber, I expect some value that you're investing and giving me exclusively for this bundle that I'm selling of your channels. Now, this has been stripped out over the years and gone to streaming, and that's been part of the problem. If you're anybody who's had their Charter service blacked out or DirecTV service blacked out, this was part of those negotiations, because Charter took the line that you've stripped all of your programming from these cable networks that we're paying you for and moved it to these streaming services, but you're not giving us or giving our subscribers access to these streaming services. And what they won, Charter or Spectrum, if you will, is they added those services free for their subscribers. So that's why Charter subscribers, Spectrum subscribers, now get free Disney Plus, they get free Paramount Plus, and they fought for that reason alone. So there's a little less of that. Yes, they're still being paid per sub, you know, fee every month. They've stripped them. Do they care if CNBC goes direct to consumer anymore? You know, when ESPN does next year, I think that's probably the biggest thing at this point, where, you know, no one's going to complain about that. Where, if you remember, my background was at HBO, and when HBO first announced HBO Now, that was a big deal, because HBO was only in the bundle, and HBO was taking a stance of, no, we're making a move for the future, and we still expect to get our money from you for our linear subscribers, but we are going to make a streaming service that people who don't want to pay for the bundle, you know, can access. Mm-hmm. So that was the big move there. Now, this day and age, it's kind of not do what you want, but it's definitely a different attitude, I would say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, HBO was always different, too, though, because HBO was always a thing that you paid extra for.
Yeah, so, but you had to have the bundle to get to it.
But you had to have the bundle to get
it,
right? Yeah,
that was the thing. That was their argument, Sonny. You're exactly right at the time. So it's like, well, we're already an add-on, so, you know, a little different situation. Sure.
This comes on the heels of Warner Brothers Discovery and Paramount writing down a bunch of the value of their
$15 billion, yes, yeah.
Explain to me the difference between what they did and what Comcast is doing here.
Well, there's kind of a before and after, if you will. So what WBD and Paramount did, this is back in the summer, so in August, essentially. You know, look, you're a publicly traded company. You own assets, right? Mm-hmm. There are accounting rules that go along the lines here. And if you own assets that have depreciated in value, you have to publicly disclose that. You know, you have to revisit that every year, whenever you determine that. As an you can get sued otherwise, you know, mm-hmm. because it's like, you're telling me this is worth this, and it's not. So if they look at TNT and TBS and HGTV, you know, they're like, well, these, you know, due to cord cutting, we're not making as much money on this, and we don't expect that revenue to come back, or it's gone for a long time, or whatever it might be. You have to disclose how much these things are worth, you know, worth less, you know. So that's what that was. Both of those companies took that move. Again, yeah, probably a little bit of leeway. I'm not an accountant, so I'm not going to say either way. But they both coincidentally did it at the same time. So that's the reality that's facing. And Disney's done this, but they did about, I think it was about $1.2 billion over the past maybe 12 to 15 months out of their cable TV businesses as well. It's Freeform, Disney Channel, FX, mm-hmm. things like that. So they've seen a bit of this, not to the scale of the other two. Comcast is really yet to do this. So this is also perhaps their solution, is to not wait a year and do that, you know, $8 billion write-off. This could be seen as their, again, they did not say this. I'm not saying that was their, you know, but you could see it as such that this is their position. This is their answer to that, to avoid having to do that. And again, also just make a plan for the future here to get this business off our books, which is only going to, if you keep these networks, Sonny, that's not the last write-off you're doing. So that's something you want to also, again, not a good look. It's just, you know, how do we get out? You're in a, you know, spiraling down business, and it's like, all right, you waited too long to get out of it when you could have sold these things 5 years ago, maybe to somebody. Everybody knows the jig is up. So this was Comcast's solution to that issue, where WBD and Paramount, who, again, don't have a broadband company above them. They don't have a theme park mm-hmm. business. They are, you know, very much more reliant upon this revenue from cable TV than Comcast and Disney are. So their approach was to write this. They had to, from an accounting point of view, this is Comcast's approach to doing it. So,
rank speculation. Rank speculation time. Is this the sort of thing you do if you are considering a merger of some sort, right? Is this like, do you do this to free up space on your books to absorb a WBD or a Paramount, Viacom? I guess that would be harder for Comcast, since they own NBC as well. You don't want somebody owning NBC and CBS. Is this the sort of thing you do in preparation for a merger of some sort, or is it just a totally separate thing?
In this case, it's a good question, Sonny, and I'm glad you actually brought this up, because I haven't really touched upon it either. But it's if you're a smaller company, yes, where like you're looking. This is actually Lionsgate is just finishing doing this right now. So Lionsgate mm-hmm. also owns Starz, right? Mm-hmm. And they've been trying to find a way. Starz is, again, a business that is, you know, flat. It ain't going, you know, they've transitioned to streaming, but the money isn't growing either way. Right. You know, it's kind of thing. They have issues with that. Seen as an old stodgy thing. So they want to unlock the value of the studio, which makes hit, you know, John Wick and Hunger Games, and, you know, does the movies and plenty of TV shows. They own a 20,000 title library, you know, that throws off cash, yada, yada. So they've been trying to split off Starz so that the studio becomes a much more attractive asset for, again, so, theoretically, once this, you know, you're not buying, you know, if you want to buy the studio, you don't have to take the cable network with it, you know, that kind of thing. So it does, in that case, it would make something more attractive for a sale. Comcast is so massive, I don't think that's exactly what they're doing. Does it free up space to acquire something? Yeah, but, you know, if they're spinning off cable networks, they're not going to buy a company that is full of cable TV networks. Right, right, it's right. Like, so, and the CBS point up with Paramount as well. And Paramount was just obviously went through a whole major, you know, change of power this summer and the deal. So they're not looking, you know, Ellison's not coming in the door and being like at Paramount and be like, hey, I want to sell this thing right away. I don't think that's really their you know, right. MO there. So yeah, it's interesting. Right, right. You're right. I mean, it does, what does it free you up to do? It would free you up to perhaps do that, but the math's tough on that for, but the speculation, you're right, like WBD and Comcast is the popular theory out there until WBD figures out something to do with those cable networks. But again, maybe WBD now that you have this SpinCo out there, when it is established, it can do whatever it wants. It could add TBS, it could add HGTV. If WBD, you know, that could be a deal you could look at, you know, so there, it does again, open up optionality there, Sonny. Again, rank speculation, I should say, but it does, you know, provide a way to maybe put those companies together in a new way where you just kind of combine the studios, but you don't combine you don't put more money, profit declining cable networks onto your business. So could be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess, again, like rank speculation slash dumb question, but like if you spin off this thing to SpinCo, obviously, you're not looking to pick up, say, an AMC Plus, right? Like, you're not looking to pick up the AMC networks or
SpinCo might,
but that's yes. The question here. Is that's the sort of SpinCo itself, the spinoff company, is the sort of place where you would acquire other parts of the bundle as it exists now, and also other streaming. I mean, I've always thought AMC is like kind of undervalued, except for the fact that it doesn't fit anywhere. It's a general purpose cable channel that has a decent library, but doesn't fit anywhere because there's nobody that really needs that.
Right. It's too small for some things and not big enough for other. Exactly right. It has this weird size to it. And this could be, you know, and look, and they have the same problem. The majority of their revenue is tied to linear TV advertising and, you know, and cable TV affiliate revenue. So they have the same problems going on. Look, AMC Plus is great. It's not, you know, paying the bills at AMC Networks, you know, Corp, if you will, that the AMC, the linear TV network and IFC, you know, those are still paying the bills there. Yeah. So you have the same issue. But what it does, for SpinCo, so right, you have these networks in there now, right? What gives you leverage in negotiation with the Charters and the Fios and the, you know, and Comcast now is we'll be negotiating with Comcast for carriage. Scale, right? So the more networks you have, the more you can, you know, kind of maintain the prices as long as you can that these cable companies are paying you. So it's like, oh, you want access to, you know, MSNBC, well, and AMC, and the more things you throw in the basket there gives you more leverage in those negotiations in theory. So that could be helped to have, they'll look at it. I mean, that's something they'll look at, honestly, Sonny. And you do have a streaming service. They have, I think, 11 to 12 million subscribers across all that's across, you know, they have Acorn, they have a few other, you know, Shudders under their you know, so across that, they have about 12 million subscribers. And new SpinCo will probably also have a streaming component to it. You know, also famously, you know, Paramount has BET, which they've been looking to sell for quite a while. Is that BET and VH1, which are, you know, in the same division there at Paramount. Is that something you want to spin in? And BET Plus also has, you know, a streaming business as well. So could you amass a company of smaller brands that also have these streaming businesses, which are hopefully growing? And, you know, that's exactly what all this company will be looking at right now. So again, not a lot of answers. This has to get done first, which again, won't happen for a year. So but I'm sure those conversations will happen with other companies being like, and again, back to remember Bravo staying in house, right? So maybe I'm going to go to Disney, right? So Disney, FX is heavily entwined in Hulu. You're probably going to keep FX. Disney Channel is heavily entwined in Disney Plus, but Freeform, not so much. Freeform, you know, that could be something maybe you would look at. Hey, is there a way we can get involved with that now? You know, so again, I think you'll start having those conversations, whether something happens or not, I don't know. But what this is, that's why this is such a big moment, Sonny. And again, we're a lot of rank speculation, a lot of questions, but what this move does is it finally gets this thing moving in the direction of a conversation of like, what are you going to do with these things? Which everybody's been asking now for quite frankly, several years and more intensely over the past 15 months.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That was, I think I have a better understanding of this now.
Yeah.
I think that's,
I apologize to any listeners who are kind of lost. I can get a little wonky. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can email me or whatever. You know, I'm happy to answer any questions about this stuff, but I try.
No, it's good. And I do think that the what you just said is the key point here, which is that like, this is the beginning of an effort to figure out what to do with all of these assets that are still profitable, that are still, right. like, frankly, hugely profitable. They still make
profitable
tons
than
and tons of money.
Like, more profitable. Yeah, exactly. You're talking billions a quarter. Like, you know, yeah.
And but also like nobody really wants because they are going to be less profitable and less profitable and less profitable
right.
over time.
Yes.
over
the billions S plural, the S is going to drop off of there at some point, you know. So yes, exactly right. And there's no question that there's no hope that that's really going to turn around, you know. Again, what are these things worth? I mean, Bravo is that they figure Bravo is a brand that, again, has value in streaming, right? Does Oxygen really have, is anybody paying for an Oxygen streaming service? You know, it's like, no, it's kind of, is E, no. So like, you know, it's kind of the haves and have nots, Sonny, of like, all right, what brands really have a future and what could that be in this streaming world that we all frankly now live in, and which ones can we just mitigate decline and can live in this other bundle, which generally has older TV viewers and so on and so forth. And it's still, as you point, still a business, you know. And again, newspapers, kind of the transition to digital hit them too, and this is kind of similar in that sense as well. So we shall see what transpires.
Yeah. All right. I always like to close by asking if there's anything I should have asked. If you think there's anything folks should know about all, I mean, I don't. What did I not ask?
Why didn't we talk about free cash flow,
Sonny?
What do you mean? Didn't you mention free cash flow? It's like, come on, people love talking.
See,
free
I don't
cash
understand.
Flow.
I get like the Homelander blank stare. When people start talking about.
I try not to say the word EBITDA or ARPU on this conversation, so for everybody's benefit. So, what you should know, you know, look, I think NBCU has. It'll be interesting. NBC News has a legitimate questions that are going to probably, you know, have to be looked at for staffing. Will you see, as a consumer, will you see any material changes here about talent, as you say? Like, will there be a different strategy? Will, you know, we usually not see so-and-so on this network anymore? Valid questions. We shall see. For otherwise, you're not really, from a consumer point of view, not necessarily going to notice anything that's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to get my X, Y, and Z anymore. If you are a cable bundle fan, that's fine. But it is just this moment. Very few moments come along like this in the business where, like, oh, this is now, someone has made this determination that no one wanted to make for many years about what to do with these businesses that they, again, they've known this is coming for 10, 15 years now, Sonny. So this is, you know, this is a long time in coming, and it's finally here, and there will be other aftershocks from this. This isn't just like, oh, this is what Comcast is doing. You know, we just got through earnings season. There'll be another earnings season coming in mid-January to early February. This will be the hot topic of conversation for every CEO who runs Paramount, WBD, you know, anybody who owns a cable TV network will be getting this question and better have an answer, because Comcast has planted their flag. This is what we're doing. Everybody else has just done the billion-dollar write-offs and things like that. They haven't given a strategy change. This is a strategy, big strategy change for NBCU. So that's the thing to really kind of take away here.
Yeah. Sean, thanks again for being on the show. Again, over at the Ankler, sign up. I read everything the Ankler puts out. It's constantly in my inbox, and I love it. So
we appreciate your readership, Sonny. Thank you very much.
And again, my name is Sonny Bunch. I'm culture editor at The Bulwark, and I'll be back next week with another episode of The Bulwark Goes to Hollywood. We'll see you guys then.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.